Calypso King competition in Globe Cinema, 1957. Some of the other guys went to the Savannah. Well, I won that one in Globe. Seem like we in for turbulent weather here, boy.
That's all right. We can deal with it.
Yeah.
All right, so we come inside of your home now.
Yes. Welcome home.
Nice being inside. Why are you afraid outside, so?
Red, boy, red.
And kids looking at you.
Actually, what happened is I was told that Jazzy gave Kitchener a pair of binoculars for Carnival. And you see your kids living right across there? I don't know what he could do with his binoculars. So I ordered some new drips from Miss Baldwin, but I ain't get it yet. So until I get the drips, let me stay inside. Keep away from Kitch Eye.
This is a beautiful room inside. Yeah, I love that picture on the wall there with all the Calypsonians this year. Yeah. Those who have won the Calypso Monarch title over the years. You have people like David Rudder.
Penguin, Scrunter, Star, Chalky, Kitch, Juke, Terra, Striker, that's me there, and Tiger and Pretender.
1958, another road match for you, pay as you earn. You were not in competition yet, you were still on boycott, but you were able to win the road match.
We were boycotting the competitions, and but still, you know, you really can't boycott the road match. As once you have your song out there, it's up to the people if they like it and they want to use it. So it's not like now where the road match is so orchestrated, so organized, and, you know, people know what they want to play or by whom they want to play for, before the Carnival even becomes a reality.
There are two songs that you sang in 1950 that have been personal favorites of mine. Now, you don't sing it so much in competition and on shows. I don't know why.
Which one is that?
Teresa and Russian Satellite. Beautiful tunes.
Yeah. Well, that's true, too. I have to come back to these things, you know. I like Teresa in particular because it, you know, it was the first attempt I had in using a little bit of language, you know, foreign language in Calypso. Sparrow, let me go. Boy, don't hold me so. Me mama go no. Sparrow, darling, wait till tomorrow. Teresa, I love you. And I'm always thinking of you. Yo te quiero mucho. I really can't wait for tomorrow. Something like that.
Yeah, well, I've heard you sing Spanish, French, even Dutch in Calypso. Where did you learn these languages?
Well, again, I love languages. I even try a little bit of Chinese, a little touch of Hindi, you know, that kind of thing. And, of course, patois, you know. Garçon, c'est comme ça par le café, non?
How do you do that? She comes for the carnival. She wants to play with short belly, but she ain't a polija. I said she had to pay for she. But she's going to spend the night with me. She's going to tell me what we began. If you hear how this hot me can go.
One of your favorites, Simpson.
Yes, that was what Simpson, the funeral agency man. I sang that a couple nights ago.
Oh yeah, I remember. It went over very, very well indeed.
Yes, where the man waited for me, although he here dead. You had two candles and park up there with the slippers and thing anyway.
I tend to say I have a sense of humor, but I don't like the latest rumor. Of course I have a sense of humor, but I don't like the latest rumor. People all about having to say how Sparrow kick out. He was in some kind of collision. Poor soul and he dead and gone. Amen. Every half an hour, somebody ringing up. Until they get the news, they don't intend to stop. Yes, sir.
Yes, I knew Sparrow, a very nice fellow. Whenever we met, we always said hello. Yes, true. It was Simpson, the funeral agency man, with the coffin in his hand. Simpson, the funeral agency man, he walking in the junction.
The following year, though, 1960, in fact, you were given the title the unofficial Calypso King of the World. And this was an achievement that in 4 years, people could see you already as their Calypso King of the World, because you went back into official competition. And in 1960, you were able to create the double of winning the road match and the Dimash Choir title.
Yeah, well, that was quite an achievement. And the people recognized that I did stand for the right thing, you know, because like I told you before, the Calypsonians definitely were not being treated properly. And we didn't have no, up to now, we don't have a vibrant association. We are striving very hard for that. But if and until such time as we get a nice, vibrant association, we are going to continue to have this sort of shabby treatment, you know. And when I came back in, conditions were a little bit better. And as we go on, you will realize that I had to strike again. For better conditions, because everybody else was improving and everything was happening nice for other people, and it wasn't happening nice for the Calypsonians.
Now let's talk about the two tunes that they sang that year. First of all, let's talk about 10 to 1 is Murder. And you know, people always ask the question, how much of that was true?
the song is self-explanatory, I believe. You have to listen to it carefully, and it explains itself.
But I have the same question to ask now about Mimi.
Yes. You catch me there.
This is a true story, ladies and gentlemen. Hit it! With a girl they calling Mimi, making love one day with a sweet little girl named Mimi. I pick up Mimi by the railway and we take a taxi straight to Clarkston. There, before we lay them on the carpet, she start catching fits where she ballin'. Darling, don't fight me.
But my two daughters went to your show 2 weeks ago, and when they saw you sing Mimi, they said, he has to be the greatest.
Well, yeah, that's quite a compliment from the young people.
We continue with 1961, Road March again, Royal Jail.
That's right. That's, again, using the bravado category, you know, where you brag and boast about what you feel you can do when you're young and you're strong and you're afraid of nobody and blah, blah. Way back, you know, that used to be a part of the tradition handed down by the griots way back in Africa. And some of it, of course, rubbed off when we tried to, of course, create a new music in Trinidad.
I don't tell my friends and my family not to worry. Anyone of them interfere with me, they get easy. Don't
don't worry, do. Beg the jury, save your lawyer fee. If you have any mail, I live in a royalty.
Well, 1962, that ability to express your conviction in a song certainly came out in Federation, because you sound like you were damn vexed with all the politicians.
Yes, like I told them, I felt, right now, I love Jamaicans very much, but at that time, I feel I could have given one of them a calpet. You know, a calpet is a good tap, because this Federation was, to me, the answer to a lot of problems. And by now, we definitely would have been a world power to be reckoned with, economically at least.
Sorry, but no federation again. I think it's a big shame. After so much effort and energy put by everybody, right now is only a memory. We fail miserably. Some may say we shouldn't help. This Jamaica West started. If they know, they want
Federation.
And they know they didn't want to unite as one.
Tell me, doctor, you are
don't behave like a plastic dreamer. How the devil you mean you are federated?
No.
1963, you won the crown again, this time with two gems. Kennedy, which was an international calypso, and in fact, one of the things that I find is that a lot of calypsonians stay away from international themes, and you showed your ability to broaden the horizon by going after something like as heavy as Kennedy.
Again, it all depends on where your interest lies, you know. I found myself always interested in things like that. And when it became Martin Luther King for president, or you tell the North, or I go tell the North, you tell the South. And Kennedy is the man for them. These things are of interest to me. I'm always looking out for things like that. And again, I'm concerned about children and the education and the happiness and the preparation for the future. So once you are a concerned person that kind of way, you would find interest in those topics. Also, that year, I started the portrayal of the character, not only with verve and vigor and vim, but with costuming, if you remember. Dan is the man.
Yeah, that was your second tune.
Yeah, the schoolboy with the slingshot and the cap and thing, and had the people going nuts on the place.
Dan is the man in the van. If I had to choose one of your top five tunes, Dan is the man in the van would be one of them.
That's right. I like it myself. I sing it every once in a while.
There were other tunes like The Village Ram, which obviously showed another side of you again in the middle of all the serious topics like Martin Luther King and so on that you were singing.
Yeah. Just goes to show that man don't live by bread alone.
It's me, The Village Ram. Baby, here I am. Oh, Lord, I'm The Village Ram. Darling, here I am. When I put you in the clinch, how you bite and pinch, and unlock me arms from your side. You'll be begging to be my bride. Not a woman ever complained yet. With me, I am full of love and charm and durability. And if a woman ever say that I ever
I know, even if we recall some of the years like Ben Wood Dick and some of those other tunes, that side of the Mighty Sparrow, which we call the double entendre, or we call spicy, has been a feature of your career, but still an acceptable feature of your career, not overdone.
That's right. Again, like I told you from the very beginning, balance, kind of normal, you know, the way how things are, a little good, a little bad here and there, but, you know, like everybody else, I suppose.
Mm-hmm. And in fact, if we jump the gun a little bit, a tune like Saltfish, I mean, you know, tastefully done.
Well, Saltfish is one of the staples that we have in this part of the world. Mm-hmm. And after having acquired the taste for Saltfish, and to the point where one can say it's growing through your ears, people later on in life tell you, you know, boy, fish is good for you, and you must eat a lot of fish. Well, this is what they said to me. And all my life I eat in fish.
I'm gonna make it very simple, so all you have to say is Saltfish. Nothing in the world better than it's to be better when you eat all the saltfish. Saltfish is what I like. So do do do. You must give me the bit. I like your food. So don't find me rude. For the hard, hard bacon.
Saltfish.
It's sweeter than meat. When you want to eat, tell the truth now.
One of the things I'm always fascinated by when I see you work on a stage is how well rehearsed you look. But at the same time, you're a guy traveling so often. How much of the choreography is pre-planned and really worked at?
None of it. If there's anything that resembles a properly choreographed something, is because of practice. I've done it already, I did it, I'm doing it now, and, you know, but to say that I stood in a rehearsal studio and choreographed this, no, I never did that. It's how you feel. If you notice, I would never really do the same song the same way twice, even though I do it over and over. But there are some similarities.
The other thing that I notice is that you seem to have a good sense of pitch. You sometimes can start before the band and you're right in key with them, or you can tell them what key to play in and so on.
Yeah, well, once you, again, in practice, experience, once you have that that tone, once you're not tone deaf, you have true pitch, it makes it a lot easier on a regular concert, because it isn't every time you want the band to start to do boom, 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 bim, bam, bam, bam. It gets, you know, to me, it's like boring from time to time. So when it's a lengthy show, I like to, like, move into the other selection. And sometimes when the musicians are having a difficult time in perhaps remembering the music in front of them and they can't even count it properly, It happens from time to time. You give them a start. And one time they remember. But that's not a new thing, because this is how we used to sing in the Calypso tent in the earlys, because no musician was there to read everything for you. While you are being announced, ladies and gentlemen, we have a young fella in the back here who is going to sing for you a wonderful song. What's the name of this song, boy? while that is being done, you are singing to the musician. Ladies and gentlemen, as you can hear the music, and then the chorus. Kaiso dong the line.
Right. 1965, a good year for you. You did, you weren't in competition, but you had tunes like Congo Man, Get the Hell Out of Here, Well Spoken, Moppers. I think that was one of your better years.
Yeah, that was, you know, political and social commentary, Solomon Affair, you know. Mm-hmm. I say that Solomon will be Minister of External Affairs.
Mm-hmm.
If you ain't like it, get the hell out of here.
Yes, sir.
Now, the performance of Congo Man, I remember seeing you singing that at Seamen and Waterfront Workers. And if you ever talked about a total calypso in terms of presentation, melody, lyrics, and really taking you to where it could have happened, that was it, Congo Man.
Yes, I thought the Congo Man was pretty much like a one-man opera. You get all this sounds of the birds and the trees and the wind and howling and the animals and seeing your face transform itself into a cannibal, and yet you're talking about something else and you're playing the part of the two scared white women in a pot. And the Congo Man in his glee, you know. It's really, really fantastic.
Okay, 1966, and you have so many favorites. I don't know which one to really pinpoint, but Obia Wedding, Melda, is a classic.
That's right. In those days, I considered myself one of the most eligible bachelors, and, had to guard against forced marriages and that type of thing.
Well, you couldn't find a better way to put it over.
Free and necromancy, boy. You have to guard against them thing, you know. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you're in plenty of trouble.
That's the year you sang a beautiful tune, No Money, No Love.
Ivory, pack up your clothes to leave, man. Just a little hard time, you know. Mm-hmm. The man just had a little bad luck. She pack up and she gone.
That was your outstanding tune of 67.
Yeah, love without money. Mm-hmm. You know, like I tell them, like, the other night I asked them, Siam, how do we say it in Trinidad? Apart from saying no money, no love, because in America they say no money, no honey. But of all the sayings, the Englishman have the best saying. Romance without finance is a bloody nuisance. Boil down to the same thing.
Right.
No money, no love.
Now, apart from the fact that you have entered competitions and won so many times, there are a lot of years when you didn't enter, and if you had entered, you would have been the same story. And I think 1968, Mr. Walker and Jane. Oh, what could we say about those two tunes?
Well, I liked them. I thought that was a turning point, because if you listen to Jane, it was a little bit of simplification of the lyrics, where you're coming in with the aha. And instead of putting other lyrics there, I just came in with, I ain't ready yet, aha, stim short.
I ain't ready yet, aha, I'm not beginning fat, aha, I'm having a good time, aha, don't break up the line, aha, go away, I ain't care.
Asahi, another road match contender, which went all the way to win the road match.
That's right. That's one that I just used to make up numbers, because in that year, I had Hoshigo Cry for, that was what, 69?
69.
1969. I had a lot of nice tunes that year. And Sasae was just to make up a set of, make up the numbers.
Well, you had other tunes like Sparrow Dead, Lizard,
yeah, well, this is
60 Million Frenchmen, Afraid Pussy Bite Me.
You see what I'm talking about? And I thought Sasae was just to make up the numbers. Because when you have an LP, how many we used to use? First of all, I used to use 12 tunes on ILP. I don't think anybody else had 12 on ILP. I had 12 in 1958. And as the years went by, I came down to 10. And then to 8. And eventually to 6. Yes, and there was one year that I used 4 and 2 versions. But I didn't like that. I thought this was a little bit
cheating,
you know. it really wasn't right. So I came back with 6. I think I must stay at 6. But I may be able to go more because CDs are now into the market, and CDs can take quite a lot.
Right. Well, 60 Million Frenchmen and Afraid Pussy Bite Me. 10 tunes of class.
That's right. Still going very strong. Because, as you know, some people don't talk about it, but they're really afraid I'm for a four-legged animal. Yeah.
And your performance of that, I mean, demanding a full encore the other night was something to see.
That's right. We had a nice time there, man. And I think, you know, what people like about that, too, is the melody. It's a very haunting melody also. Down, da 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 da.
Well, between the period 68 to 71, we had seen a guy called Duke ruling the Calypso world, and I think there was a little challenge thrown out to you somewhere in late 71.
Yeah, well, again, you know, in fighting for better conditions, way back I started the boycott business so that people would realize that they need the services of the Calypsonians, and if you don't get the better Calypsonians, at some point, your standard is going to drop. So you will have to come to terms. And as long as the Calypsonians are reasonable, they should be given good treatment. But during those times, some of the Calypsonians did not support. And one of them, I'm not trying to him in any way, but he didn't support the boycott. And he won 4 years straight. Now, after the fourth year, he said that he didn't want to compete again unless Sparrow was there, because it'd be a hollow victory. And he wants Sparrow there, and what are you going to do to Sparrow, and et cetera, et cetera. So I got a message to him saying, Duke, you must learn to drink milk. Don't count cow. You understand? It's an old folklorish way of putting, warning him that it ain't easy. Don't come challenging Sparrow, because you're going to be in trouble. But he didn't hear me, and what he did was to allow this challenge to stand, and there you have it. That is the rest of history. Since then, you know, I don't think he ever won a crown again. And it's not my doing so much. I believe Duke won 4 years, and if you could play Wei Wei, you would understand that number four is what?
Dead man.
You notice I won 3 years straight, and after that,
Yes, 72, 73, and 74. Whoa. Well, let's talk about 72. Drunkard, Disorderly, and Rope. Uh-huh. First time anybody win the Savannah with a double party tunes. They say it can't be done.
That's right. Well, you know, you have to break the rules every once in a while. you know, I had my ups and downs. I was a little bit disappointed when I lost in 61 to Douglas. Is Douglas? Is 61, yeah. But that was a nice song, Lazy Man, you know. But again, you know, when you're in the competition, you all want to win. And what else? What else? And now, a time I lost again to the Bomber, right?
Five Little Popos.
Yeah, dying. my argument was when Spoiler was alive, Spoiler couldn't beat me. So you come and imitate Spoiler, how you could beat me? You know, that kind of argument. But it was a nice effort. Looking back at it now, I don't have any arguments, you know. It's over and done with. But every once in a while, I think about that. So coming back to... what was the year again?
1972
with two-party song.
Drink and drunk, dining with me. Always make me family shit. Like Marianne on day on night. Staggering high like a kite. It's Christmas, every day is Christmas. I could drink the rum, trust, till me barely must.
Something else that stood out in 1973 was the tune Memories.
Memories, boy, that was a year. And up to now, you know, that song is such a beautiful song that when time you start, people start to applaud. They know the song, they love the music, they know what it's all about.
Every year, somebody dear, give us cause to shed a tear and mourn, for they are gone. Now all that's left is a faint memory, based on the theme of a strange melody. Still, we must think of them and recall their inner pride, telling people inside, dedicated to those who died. But in this, I'll always jumping when a steel band pass, playing mass, sugary, peppery, but was never ever one for class. But from Innis, wherever you are, compared just for you, I come out with real fire.
Now 1974, the 30th straight, was a big year. A guy called Shadow was doing extremely well with a tune called Bassman, and remember you and Kid saying, how are we going to beat this man?
Boy, I could tell you something. That was one of the most difficult years for me as a competitor. I know what to do. I know how to do it. But Shadow ain't making life no easier for me. I remember well. I had to do a lot of concentration, keep away from everybody, by myself, figuring out how to nullify this man's madness, if possible, if at all possible. And I saw Shadow took that audience, put them in the palm of his hand, crush them, lift them up, play ball with them. I say, well, boy, Buddy, you have to pull out all the stops here today. And I'd like his tunes to have both tunes. So when my time came, of course, I had to try a little harder to try and get my side of the story told. But it's not that I was scared, because if I had lost, it wouldn't have been a shame or something to feel badly about, because it would have been a master tune and a master performance that beat me.
a Baptist woman with a whole shoebox in her hand, charging money to see such confusion in the band. To see Miss Mary, she big and hairy. To see she mother, to see she father. For carnival this year, I have Miss Mary. Miss Mary Wayne, so come and visit.
And like I say, I must congratulate Shadow, even though so many years ago, he did give me a real true test. Yes, yes.
While we're on that point, though, talk to us about using that Savannah stage. So many Calypsonians, when they reach that big yard, falter because they don't know how to use that stage.
Again, nobody went to any particular school to learn how to use. It's just a matter of observation, common sense, and keep yourself physically fit. Regardless of what, if you're not physically fit, you cannot make it. You have to. The control or the proper use of the stage does not begin with your being selected for the finals. The proper use of that stage comes with conditioning, and you have to do that home. As a matter of fact, if you look in the back of you, you see exercise equipment, you see a big yard, and this is some of the things that a person would have to do in order to handle that sort of thing, or to do these marathon shows, you know?
So that you don't run out of breath.
You don't run out of breath, because where Calypso is concerned, the way I operate, is that you can hear every lyric, at no matter what speed I sing at. And this didn't come because only because it's a gift from God, it is something that you have to practice. So you're thankful and you're grateful that you are blessed in that you have the gift, but you have to use it properly. And being physically fit is one of the ways.
I want to jump a little bit to 1977 because that's another high point in your career when you made a trip to Nigeria, the Festac, and you were crowned Chief Omawali. Can you?
Chief Omawali of Ikoyi. Ikoyi is the area, mm-hmm. You know, and Chief Omawali is supposed to be my honorary chief name. It means the sun has returned, the returning sun. You know, I don't know. But I went to the place where they shipped out a lot of slaves and so a certain part in Nigeria. And, you know, very historic. And we took a lot of pictures and so on. You know, kind of sad, but then again, you know, to think that we did survive the crossing and everything, you know, and there's a king there who treated us very nicely and said to us that that sort of thing will never happen again. I said, yes, Your Highness, you are right. It will never happen again.
I'm a slave from a land so far. I was caught. And I was brought here from Africa. I'm a slave from a land so far. I was caught and I was brought here from Africa. And, well, it was licks like fire from the white slave master every day. Before we cross the seas to reach in the West Indies.
And then they make me work. I said I work. Good Lord, no way.
And then I toil, I toil, I toil, and I toil so hard each day. Shoot to kill.
day. Stay and I pray, but I plan him still. And I study night and day how to break away. I got to make a brilliant escape. But every time I think about the whip and them dogs, my body does start to shake.
Miss the Mighty Sparrow live on Calypso Showcase next week. A little special tune which you might not have thought would have got very popular, Natasha Dudu Yemi.
Yes, well, this again was a play on some of the Yoruba words. Olori Egbe, Oma Kuere, Onyo, Osiwasi Wasoko Dudu Yemi. This is Nigerian words.
Oh, you also sang on Idi Amin that year, so the trip to the Africa might have influenced those topics.
That's right, because at that time we were all concerned with Africanism. The movement was back to Africa, anything African. The dashiki came in and the Afro hairstyle, and everybody was into it, and it stayed with us for quite some time. So it was quite normal and natural to fall right into the African language.
Also, one thing that came to our knowledge that year was the fact that you had a tune which has spent 27 weeks on the European chart. Only a fool breaks his own heart. Where did you find time to make that in between?
Well, what happened is I did this song. Now, first of all, I met the guy who did it originally, a guy called Arthur Prysock. A very deep voice, something like Billy Eckstein's Sparrow. You got to learn this song, you know.
What?
You've always had this idea of presenting your characters with costume, with flair, with everything. Robot, 1979, I think, was the epitome of that.
That's right. I had batteries and everything, doing the robot dance.
Instead of brains in my head, a small sensitive computer with complete data. Yes, I'm equipped with laser, telescopic eyes and radar. That's why I feel that I am real. When Mr. Kid Breaker get hot, I could whine better than John Travolta. I'm a robot, whining with precision, see me. I'm a robot, dancing in slow motion. However, the man designed the plan, it working fine. Because I'm the only robot man today could whine. I'm a robot for Carnival in 79.
People have talked a lot about presentation of Calypso and what makes for good presentation. What, in your opinion, is good presentation in Calypso?
Well, it all depends on what the topic is, and if you stay close to it, and make people again believe it's real, then I would say that's good or great presentation. You can be presenting something about a racetrack scandal and you're dressed like a judge in the court. If you're dressed like a jockey, whatever the real essence of the song is, when you're talking about racetrack bacchanal, whatever happened, you're dressed like a jockey, have a whip, put on your cap, and so on, I think you're portraying the character.
Other good tunes, 1980, Wanted Dead or Alive, London Bridge is Falling Down.
That's right. Wanted Dead or Alive. This was one of my better songs around that time. Of course, I had what I had before that. I had Ayatollah. Ayatollah telling Ayatollah, watch your tail, because you have America, you have the tiger by the tail. Mm-hmm. And somewhere along the line, this tiger, as soon as you let it go, is going to eat you up. And, well, it didn't eat up Iran, but Iraq got the brunt of it. And maybe Saddam Hussein should have been listening when I was warning the Ayatollah. Wanted Dead or Alive was Observation again. Park Chung-hee and Idi Amin and Gary and people from all over the world at the same time seem to have had a problem. General Somoza from Nicaragua, and you know, it all happened at the same time. So again, a keen sense of observation and brought that one out.
The rule of the tyrants declined the year 1979. From Uganda to Nicaragua, bombs and bullets all the time. So they corrupt, so they vile. So it's coup after coup all the while. Human rights, they violate. They thought they were too great. So in disgrace, now they live in exile. Gary
is a wanted man.
Idi Amin
is a wanted man.
The Shah of Iran, fighting hard to survive. He too is
wanted,
dead or alive.
A nice little ditty you did in 1981, Sanford, which also had to do with an international theme, but you put over in your own way.
Sanford, that was, again, one of my favorite comedians. And if you check inside, you would see a lot of tapes, just like how I have Oliver on tape. I have all Sanford.
Elizabeth.
Oh, this is
the big one, baby.
The greatest comedian in all of television. Everybody loves him, but he's a good for nothing. He's hilarious. He's notorious. Don't know why, but he like Lester, Julio, Grady, and Aunt Esther, telling she should face like a twister, and talking about crazy Mr.
Sanford, Sanford, Sanford,
oh,
Sanford,
and his son, them two stink.
expect me to believe a couple of stories like that?
Well, 1982, a special year. You got into politics and you decided to compose a tune, We Like It So. And we had some controversy that year.
Yeah, always controversy, you know. We like it so. We free.
You, Mr. Sparrow, let me tell you, we are one of...
I can't remember, you know, so long I ain't sing this song, I can't remember.
But I remember when you did that tune in the tent on the opening night, it was almost like a still audience saying, you know, this man bold faces, come and sing a calypso like that. But by the end of the season, everybody was singing the chorus with you.
That's right, because they recognize that there's a lot of truth in it. I'm talking, if you listen to the opening of this song says, neighbor, look, if I was a selfish man.
Neighbor, look, if I was a selfish man, I would be involved in the election. I don't know already, I ain't afraid. Plus, I ain't looking for fortune again. All I'm asking is that you pay close attention to the many problems we all face from down the door. You're intelligent, I think, and you should face his shoes. But you're behaving like a moron, cussing me for where I'm born. But your pipe ain't had no water, pay too much for butter. She said, take your steel, leave and go. Terrible school system, such a bloody problem. Take your steel, leave and go. Agriculture's in a state, planning is inadequate. Take your steel, leave and go. The northern and southern idol, the two kingpins of Babel. We know, we like it so. We like it so. We free.
But anyway, there's a character that I, you know, created. And
Margin.
Funny, Margin again, you know, trying to cross the border, you know, like Margarita, you cross the border, you know, to say hello to the neighbors, the nice, beautiful neighbors there, and found yourself in trouble. I think up to now I'm paying for Margin. For my affection and my words of love towards Margin, up to now I am being persecuted for that.
And talking about presentation again, the way that you dressed right away, people could tell what you were singing about.
Ah, nice, Negro, dress up like an Indian gentleman, put on turban, playing like a margin.
In this loving game, we are all the same. Why should our cultures keep us apart? You are my sugar plum, sweet little honey bunch. You are the melody singing in my heart. Well, already I love roti and sweet bara. I could learn to get accustomed to a pira. Teach me how to play a bachang on the sitar. And I will trade my toilet paper for some water. Maraji, Maraji. Oh, my sweet, do like it. Saucy Maraji.
Now, Philip, my dear, I mean, let's talk about that in terms of being able to conjure up what possibly went on, the way the lyrics were strung together in that calypso.
Yes, yes. You have to get very regal in your thinking. I remember there was a poem that came to my mind just before I made a song. I remember a part of it says, and shall this audacious traitor brave the presence where my banner wave? Oh, please, my liege, said Argentine, were he but host and steed like mine, to give him fair and knightly chance, adventure forth my life, something like that. And I thought that was very nice. I love the language, you know, if I can love French and Spanish and things, why can't I love good English, especially Oxford-type English? And so this came to mind, you know, to bring that right back and see if you can build on that, learn from that, in imagining what probably went on, as was reported, the man in the queen bedroom.
Philip, my dear, last night I thought it was you and him. Where did you go? Working for good old England, but you're missing all the action. My dear, do you know? There was a man in the bed, wearing your shoes, fondling the royal costume, dipping in the royal perfume. I'm telling you true. A man in my bedroom, anxious for a rendezvous, and I thought it was you. He big just like you, but younger, stronger.
Time, despite all of these calypsos that you've written, people always looking to say, Sparrow finish. You know, Sparrow can't make a road march again, he can't do nothing. And 1984, do back. I think that must have been a distinct pleasure for you.
Oh, yes. Whenever I surprise the detractors like that, I'm always happy.
Tell us about do back, the foundation of it, the development and so on.
Again, well, you keep on trying all the time, you know. You continue to come with some nice ones. And do back just happened to fall in the vein. And I use about two or three different hook lines, so that people can sing along. Don't do that, give them a chance to sing that, don't do that. And then you give them a nice little laugh with, go back on me.
Well, everybody saw you up to 1984 as the Calypso King of the World. And when it was announced that it was going to be an official competition in 1985, well, everybody wanted to see whether you were going to cement that title.
That's right. It was most interesting. And what happened there was a lot of Calypsonians from other parts of the Calypso world started building up their hopes and building up their audiences that they're going to bring back the Krong and that kind of thing. Well, it wasn't going to be easy, as they later found out. I enjoy competition, you know, and when these sort of challenges come, say, you just had to pull out a few more stops.
I remember one of the little tricks that you used to, and a lot of Calypsonians using it now. Blue Boy was in the competition, and you dropped soca pressure on him right away.
Yeah, well, that was a little bit cold, but hey, all is fair in love and war. Blue Boy is a young, powerful youngster who come on the scene and just start beating people left and right, you know what I mean? So you had to do something to sort of nullify his effect.
They used to say I had it all.